We welcome you this morning. Call your attention to some of the announcements in the bulletin, especially the ones on the back sheet. 1 week from tomorrow, we have a start of our Bible school. And so this is probably your chance to make sure that you have registered your children. We would also encourage you to go out in your neighborhood if you have neighbor children, to invite them to come as well and let this be part of an outreach to them. So get your kids registered so that the staff will know what we're looking at. And if you still want to serve, I think you can talk to Sheena. She probably will find some place that you can help, teach, or whatever. So remember that starts a week from tomorrow and in the evening, and we trust that you'll take advantage of that. Tonight after the evening service, a very important education committee meeting, and if you're on that committee, we trust that you'll be to that. And they probably would welcome you if you wanted to get acquainted with that work, perhaps see if that's some area where you want to have some input, dealing with the things of the Sunday school curriculum and teachers and that sort of stuff. And so that will be right after the evening service. Phil Daniel has an announcement about the sports night.
As a continuing outreach, if it were, for the men's ministry and stuff, we've scheduled a men and boys night out. And what that means is, you know how we all like to get together and we like to, you know, play football and basketball and all that kind of stuff. Well, we're going to try some of that stuff. Some of us older ones, we get to play dominoes as we get older. And so there is activity for those that don't want to be so vigorous in the activities. And part of the bribe is Matt Green's going to be cooking for us. So we want all the men and all the dads and fathers to come out. And I'm going to twist Brad's arm to hopefully he comes out so we get to now visit with him on Saturday. So that will also cause our crowd to be bigger as well. So, Matt, we have a sign-up sheet in the back there, so that way we can have a good idea of how much food that we need to buy and prepare so that Matt can get it all cooked for us. On the bulletin also, you can email Mike Gibbs to let him know that you are coming as well. It will be a good night. Ice cream will be provided, so that's another thing that will maybe get you to come. So, thanks.
Thanks, John.
And Scott Humphrey will be available afterwards to take care of the aches and pains. Right? Hey, dominoes is a rough game. I mean, you know, killer dominoes. That's one more announcement. Remember that next week is an official welcoming. Now, we have Brad and Kim, John, Laura, Lydia sitting right here. You can talk to them today if you want. But next week is the official welcome. And we have moved our fellowship dinner from the fourth Sunday to the third Sunday this month. So next week will be a fellowship dinner after the morning service. And that will be, as we said in the bulletin, a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence that will never happen again, to be the first welcome. And so we trust that you will be with us next week for that and plan on staying for the fellowship dinner when we in an official sense, welcome Brad and Kim and the family. We are glad they're here, and they are settled in and on Granny Smith. You can call them, visit them, whatever this week. But do plan on being with us next Sunday morning and for the fellowship dinner afterwards, and trust that it'll be a good time for everybody. We want to talk about things pertaining to our future today. And some of our songs and our readings will be about that. We'll ask Chris to come and lead us in our service.
Good morning. If you'll take your hymnals and turn to number 9 and stand together, we're going to sing a hymn of praise this morning. Praise to the Lord, number 9.
Praise
pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that we can come together and sing your praises and hear from your word. Lord, we pray today that you would teach us to number our days rightly. Lord, that you would give us an eternal perspective, and that because of that, we would praise you. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. If you'll turn over to number 108. Number 108, Come Christians, Join to Sing. Let's sing together.
As we said last week, sometimes our praise songs are, even as we just sang, that they are loud praises to Christ our King. And there are other times, though, and we all have them, when it's just we just sit down, we back off, and we just quietly thank the Lord for the things he has done. And so sometimes praise can be very quiet and yet deeply and heartfelt. Choir is going to sing a song that is that temperament, if you will, but the just great words repeated several times. The cup of thanksgiving I gratefully raise, O Lord of my living, my love and my praise. Choir, we accompany.
Our scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you'll take your Bibles, Pat is going to come and read for us today.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 7, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, ending in the 5th verse. This morning we're going to read about perspective and personal hope. So take time to think as I read what God has for you. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who has raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal is swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message of personal hope. And sometimes my body doesn't do what it wants. I think it should be able to do. And as we all get older and it does less, we look to be delivered from that. And sometimes we make wrong decisions, and sometimes we say the wrong things or think the wrong thoughts. And we're looking forward to the time when you'll purify that in our hearts and souls and deliver us in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that while we're here on earth, the hope that is Jesus Christ is manifested in this frail flesh. Thank you, Lord, that you bring glory for yourself because you live in us. And you make us, although we're weak, to be strong and to bring glory to you. We commit the rest of the service to you, Lord, the rest of the day, and our hearts and souls. Thank you for sharing these thoughts with us and cause us to live them out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
stand and turn to the back of your hymnals, number 677. I'd like to read together this reading on glorification. It's number 677. I'll start with the light print and you respond with the bold. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us.
For the anxious longing for the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God.
For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body.
For in hope we then can say, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what is seen?
But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it.
In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words.
And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
And we know that
for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified.
Let's turn back to number 552 on Jordan's Stormy Banks, 552.
Oh,
Thank you. You may be seated.
We'll dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. And while they're going out, if you would please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be here this morning and sing praise to you, sing praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We confess that you are Lord of our living, our love, our praise, and we raise to you the cup of thanksgiving. All that we are and have is from you. You are a gracious God. We thank you for this time together that we can look into your word and at least for a brief time put aside the thoughts and concerns of our weekly life. We can focus in on things that pertain to our life in you, things that are eternal. I pray that as we look at this passage and as we just consider some of what it means, that you would be pleased to bless us, that you would show each one of us individually where we are, and perhaps even more where we are going, the future that you have for us, and then how we ought to live. Thank you for the ones who are here. Do quiet us before you. Bless us, we pray, in your name. Amen. When you think of 24 years, 50 messages a year, that's about 1,200 messages just in the morning. Then you double that maybe for the evening. Hard to summarize. What things do you want to be remembered for? And Peter had his whole life, and you remember in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, I'm reminding you of some things so that when I'm gone... And, of course, Peter was talking about his death. I'm not sure I'm doing that, although you never know. When I'm gone, you will remember them. And he says, I don't mind reminding you. So it's some things that he had said over and over again, apparently. And he just wanted to tell them one more time. And I have thought in the last 3 weeks, this is the third and last message in this kind of a summary. What do I want you to remember above all else? And that's hard when you think of all the books of the Bible, the messages we've heard and gone through, and some of the great truths. So we read a lot of chapter 8 from Romans this morning. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter. I mean, you could just go on forever. But if you remember that we had three things at least that I would ask that you remember. And the first one 2 weeks ago was you need to be sure about what you think and know about God. There is that verse in John chapter 17. This is life eternal. And it doesn't say that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It says this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And there's something about knowing God that is essential for our life. And we suggested at least four things about him. If you remember that, first of all, that he really exists, that he is absolutely sovereign, that he is above all else good in everything, and that he knows where we are and deals with us on that basis. Then the second one, again, just thinking, what is it that I want you to remember? And you say, well, I remember God. Well, the second one's probably that equally obvious, taken out of Ephesians chapter 2. You need to always remember your salvation. Don't ever forget what you were and where you were And don't ever forget that God saved you and brought you here to this point in your life. And the verse that helps me remember that is Deuteronomy 15:15. You will remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. And that's just something that you need to repeat every day. Don't ever forget your salvation. Today we want to just look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, and deal with one more basic thing. One more thing that you need to remember, a perspective for your life. I finished up 1 Peter 2 years and 7 months ago, I think it was, if I remember my numbers, and preached this message. Some of you heard it. Well, nothing's changed except we are 2 years and 7 months closer to what I'm saying than we were back then. See, but this was brought to my mind a couple weeks ago by a message that Steve brought on Sunday evening. And he just mentioned a quote, a gentleman by the name of William Lane, writing a commentary on Hebrews. And the quote was something to the effect that faith recognizes that it is the future that molds our present life, not the past. And it just hit me that thought is true. We are not products of our history. We are not molded and shaped and run and operate on the basis of our history as much as we are products of what we anticipate, what we believe will be our future. If we think we are going to be there, that's what molds our life, not what went on before. And what I want you to remember, and we're looking at verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5, is that always remember that no matter where we are today, there is always an after. See, there is always an after. And it is this after that shapes our life today, not what was past, but what's coming. And I'm not a product of my past. Neither are you. You look at 2010 or 29 or whatever major events you think did this. Well, back when I was in high school, this happened and this happened and this happened. And that shaped me here and that molded me here. And I did this and that molded me and whatnot, you know. And you're not a product of that. That's not your life. My life didn't get defined in or redefined in February of 2009 either, see. We are not products of our past. We are living on the basis, as God's people, we are living on the basis of a future, see. 1 Peter, very simply, is talking about life. Peter's describing the life of a first century Christian. In some respects, it relates to us. Just normal things, like danger, both physically and spiritual danger. Persecution by individual people, perhaps by the government. Trouble every day from friends and from jobs. These are all things Peter talks about, just trouble. And then evil, directed, malicious, malevolent evil, because we have an adversary who is against us, the devil, Satan. See? And that's just life. And that's 1 Peter chapter 1 through 4.5. See? And he says, that's the way you live. That's your environment. It's hard. It hurts. It's rough. You know, it just... There are no rose-colored glasses in 1 Peter, see? But he comes to the end of the book after all the problems that he tells the people that they are either going through or that they are going to go through. And he doesn't end with, well, that's life. Grin and bear it. You know, kind of suck it up, tough it out. You'll make it. You know, cheer up. That kind of stuff. See. He doesn't say, look for the silver lining. You know, some of the real stuff that goes around. In verse 10, He says, after, see. Regardless of all of this stuff, see. Regardless of this, after. And that's the word I want you to remember. Now, for you Greek people, it's not really there. That's a translation based on the tenses of the verbs, and we all know that. But all our English Bibles use the word after, which is good. And that's the word to remember, see. After, not now, not past, not what used to be, not what is, but after, see. This is the future we are to look forward to. This is what will define our lives, what we think about after. See? And it starts with, at least the Greek does, and King James, I think New International have it right, they start with not after you have suffered for a while, but they start with the God of all grace is the first phrase. The God of all grace. And that's a perspective that you need. And he's not saying God is gracious. That's true. God is gracious, certainly. But he's talking about the God of all grace. And it's the aspect of grace that is God's provision for your life. See? God has everything. And it's gracious, it's free, but everything for your life, see. And it's this God, see, the God who has provision for your life, see, all grace, see. And he's going to do some things for you. He's a God of all grace. With respect to salvation, we talked about that. Titus 2:11. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And Ephesians 2:8. You know, by grace are you saved. So, the God of all grace, he has a grace for your salvation. He's the God of all grace with respect to providence. The sun shines today. That's the grace of God. Some of you might want the rain. If it comes, it'll be the grace of God. The grass grows, the sun rises, the wind blows. Those are all graces of God. We call them providence. And that's okay as long as you understand that providence is God's grace. See, he's the God of all grace. You need it to live. He's the God of all grace. Things that we take for granted. It's the God of all grace. And he's the God of all grace for special circumstances, your life, my life, right now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 17 says, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Now, God's sitting on the throne, and he's reigning over all of the universe, everything. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. But when we come to that throne, we see it as a throne of grace that we can find mercy, or we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See? It is his sovereign throne, but it's the throne from which we get grace to help in time of need. He is the God of all grace. See? And we're together. And some people play the piano, and some people play the flute, and some sing in the choir and lead the choir. And you folks are here, and some of you teach, and some of you just talk with each other, see. And you are given gifts to relate to each other and to serve each other in the body. And those gifts are charismata, grace things, see. And he's the God of all grace to even allow us to be together in a body and to minister to each other in whatever ways we are gifted. See? And it's this God, see, who is the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ. Now you think, often, and I often do, see, that's his purpose, to save me. And he sent Jesus Christ to to save me from my sins, to redeem me, to make me a Christian. See? Bigger picture. See? Through Christ, all of that's true. But through that work, see, He's not just saving me from my sins. He called me to His eternal glory in Christ. And it's that God in whom we live and move and have our being. But He says, I am going to be in His eternal glory on the basis of my faith in Jesus Christ. It's much bigger than just saved. It's called to His eternal glory. See, not just heaven. The Bible doesn't speak much about going to heaven. The Bible speaks a lot about going to be with Him in glory. We kind of water it down, you know, streets of gold, pearly gates, mansion over the hilltop, you know, all this stuff. He says, my glory, my eternal glory. And it's this purpose that He carried out in Christ Jesus. And you can read, and we've talked about this over the years, you can read about the work of Christ. You can read John, the Gospel of John. Read chapter 8, chapter 6, chapter 10. You read Romans, the passage that we read about His purpose in Christ to ultimately glorify us. You can read, obviously, Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2. And see. But I have that as an after. I have that as a future. That is where I am going, see. It's guaranteed. It's not up for grabs at all. It is guaranteed because He called me in Jesus Christ. I didn't volunteer particularly. I didn't say, that would be a great idea. Let's see if we can work it out. He called me, see, and said, John, that's where you're going to be. See, I have an after. And I'm going. He guarantees it. See. But my after is much more than just then, because He either has to come back or I have to die to get there. See. But I'm here right now, and you are here right now, and we have this afternoon, and we have tomorrow, and the next day in the whatever God's purpose for us is. But see, we're here. See, we're not there yet. When shall I leave to get there? Well, we're still here. And life is still defined as in 1 Peter, hard and hurts and difficult and dangerous, see, and a struggle and with an adversary out to devour us. See. And so this verse applies to today as well as then. We know then. We know we will be there by faith in Christ. See. That's our ultimate after. But what about today? What does Peter tell us today? He says, well, after you've suffered for a little while, after you've put in your time down here, and he doesn't sugarcoat it, doesn't say, you know, he says, after you have suffered for a little while. Now, he doesn't say, after you have suffered for a little bit, because if you read 1 Peter, he's not talking about a little bit of suffering. He's talking about fiery trials. He's talking about losing your life. He's talking about serious things. So he's not saying after you suffered a little bit. He's saying after you have suffered for just a little while. See? A little while, maybe years. But you read that, or Pat read that for us. See, our momentary light affliction, a little while, contrasted with the eternal weight of glory. But it may be years. It may be the rest of your earthly life. That's just a little while, because we're talking about eternity. But after you have been here, see, for a while, in this life, whatever you're going through, whatever we're going through, after a while, the most amazing thing is going to happen to you. See, there's an after for today, not just for life. See, the God of all grace will himself do something. He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send an emissary, a human person. He himself, the verse says, see, will take care of you. That's your after. When whatever you're in is after, he himself, see, will perfect you. That word for perfect has to do with put in order, has to do with restore, has to do with put in proper condition. And the thought here is, whatever your life is doing to you now, see, whatever is getting torn up or messed up or broken, he himself will put back in order, see. There'll be no defects. There'll be no disorder. Chaos becomes order, and out of kilter becomes set right again, see. He himself will do that for you after. He'll confirm you. And that has the idea of support and fix firmly and set up. See, the thought being that if your life has shaken you and you are unsettled and your foundations are, I mean, you just don't know, you know, I can't stand anymore. Things are crumbling. He will set you up. He will support you. He'll fix you firmly in place, see, after. And he'll strengthen you. And if you're weak in whatever you are in now and it has just worn you down to nothing and you have no strength left for this, see, and long struggles weaken people. Short struggles, things that just hit us and kind of go, we can kind of make it through. But it's the long ones that just wear and wear and wear and wear. And we wake up and we're just weak and tired. And He Himself, the God of all grace, will Himself strengthen you after. So wherever you've been weakened, He strengthens. And he will establish you. See, and this is lay a foundation. It's almost the same thing as confirm. It's just a different word, but it's about the same idea. He'll put a foundation under you. See, the earthquakes don't shake your foundation. See, and he'll set you on it. And you will be unmoved, and this whole thing swirling around you, and it doesn't even move you. See? Because he himself will establish you. Now you look at that verse, see? And you say, I don't know. See? If you think of your past and say, well, that brought me here, and you say, well, I can't do anything about that, and you're right. See, and you look at what you're going through now and you say, man, this is destroying me in some way or in a lot of ways. See, and Peter says, after, this is what God's going to do for you. And you're after maybe this afternoon, it may be tomorrow, it may be 75 years from now, but there is an after when God Himself, the one who called you to His eternal glory, will do these things for you. See? sort of like he's called me to his eternal glory. I'll be fit for it. He'll fix me. See, he'll fix me. See, I won't be dragging in and broken and, you know, chaotic and whatnot. He'll fix me. See. And that's the perspective that I would like to leave with you, that that's what allows us to live today, not history, not the present that dictates our life, but our understanding of after. See, we are people of the future. We are people of the future, and we need to keep that in mind. We are looking to then. See, and whether it's whatever happened that's hurting started 30 years ago or 3 days ago or, in my case, a year and 4 months ago, it doesn't matter. We are future people, see, and we need to remember that always, see. God will bring me to where He has called me. God will bring you to where He has called you. He has called you to His eternal glory in Christ. And He will bring you there. And you'll be all right. He will set things in order. He will restore. He will confirm, establish you. He will strengthen you. He will put a foundation under you. See. And this life is just a temporary thing for the after that we anticipate. And if you have to say, okay, what is Peter doing here in verse 10 after he does all that bad stuff in the first 4.5 chapters? What he's saying is, no matter what is now, see, no matter what is now, afterwards it'll be all right, see. And so he's leaving these people with that thought. That wherever we are now, whatever is happening, however I am, after, see, the God of all grace who called me to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself do these things and set me right. See. And if we believe that, if you remember that, that is what governs your life. See. That is what governs your life. See. Because if you believed that that was coming, you would live like it right now. I mean, really. If you really believed that that was coming, you would live like it right now. We would live in ways that show forth His excellencies, the one who called us out of darkness into His light. People would look at us and say, God is excellent. See? I was reading in 1 Thessalonians this morning, and a verse just... That we would, verse 2:12, that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. See? If we believed that that was our after, we would walk in a manner worthy of that, a manner that fits that. If that's going to be His eternal glory, then I'm going to walk like His eternal glory now. See? Everything is done in your life. Ultimately, in what you believe is coming next. You do something now for the future. I mean, just standard example. You're all involved in saving money for what? To spend it in the future. You think a future is coming, you're preparing for the future. See, we all do that. Spiritually, we do the same thing. If we have this after coming, we live like it now. It governs our life. Everything's done on the basis of what we think comes after. And I want you to remember that. See, I want you to remember that. As much as we talk about Christian living now, understand what governs that. Now, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, if you have not placed your faith in Him, if you have not understood sin and salvation in Jesus. Then you have an after as well, right? Your after is not the eternal glory of God in Christ. Your after is wrath, condemnation, eternal punishment. See? You need to be worried about your after. You really do. You need to say, that's my after. I'd better live on that basis. I'd better say, Lord, save me. See? Even for a non-believer, they need to be governed by their after and say, I don't want that one. I need to be saved. God, save me. See? But for us, the majority of us, maybe all of us, wouldn't that be wonderful if it were all of us, but at least for the majority of us. See? Be encouraged today, not with just thoughts of the eternal glory of God in Christ, but just after whatever, after this situation, after this time of life, after this, whatever is destroying, whatever is hurting, whatever is just oppressing and just driving you down, see? After God Himself will perfect and confirm and strengthen and establish you, see? That takes away all anxiety, by the way, right? If that's true, then what do I worry about, right? You know? My favorite non-Christian character, right? Alfred E. Newman? At least in this verse, he'd make a good Christian, right? You know, his slogan, what, me worry? See? But think about that. What, me worry with this verse? After God Himself will do these things. What is there to worry about? It takes away discontent with what's happening or what I have or how I am, see? Because if this is the after where God Himself is going to do these things for me to bring me there, then what do I have to be discontent about, see? Or angry? Or rebellious, or you name the attitude that just isn't right, and you say, if this is my after, and it's guaranteed in Christ, then there's no reason for any of this. See, whatever I find myself in today, I do know one thing: it is not forever, and there is an after. And that's what I'm going to live on. And that's what I would leave with you. Remember always that there is an after to wherever you are today. Let's pray. Father, we just need to think this way. We need to realize what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. You have called us to your eternal glory. Help us to live on that basis. Help us to understand that where we are now is not forever. What is happening now is not forever. How I am living is not forever. But there is an after. Give us that view of the future, I pray, in your name. Amen. Take your hymn books, please, and turn to one more of my favorite hymns about after. Number 538. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear, wipe my weeping eyes. Let cares like a wild deluge come and storms of sorrow fall. May I but safely reach my home. My God, my heaven, my all. Just a good song. We'll stand, please. Sing all three verses of 538. And then, Steve, would you come and close in prayer, please?
Let's pray together.
Heavenly Father, we need to confess that so oftentimes in our lives the cares, the circumstances, the situations we find ourselves just tear us apart. Father, remind us today that in our lives we may be perplexed, we may be downtrodden, but we are not destroyed. For the light and momentary afflictions of this life are preparing us for the eternal weight of glory. Father, I pray that today, for your people, you would remind us of what it is we live for. Remind us that this life, we are simply immigrants. This isn't our home, but we wait for the glory which is above. Father, I do pray that you would help us to rethink our priorities, our motivations, the way we think and the way we live, that we would live in light of the future, where you remind us again and again what manner of people ought we to be. And Father, today we too pray for those here who are yet apart from you. And again, we ask that by your grace you may soften hearts and open eyes that are blinded by sin. That you would do a work of your grace. And now, Father, I pray that as your people we would be strengthened with the grace that's in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.